Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. My name is Andy Johnson, and I'm your host today. My co-host is Dan Peisner. Hi, Dan.
Hey there, Andy.
Dan, you're back in Dallas now after a week here in St. George.
Yes, I am. A little bit cooler and much, much wetter.
Oh, is it raining over there?
It has been a little bit.
Well, that's true here, too. It's a little cooler and a little bit wetter. So Dan, I know you went to take your CMI exam in SoCal. So, what's your initial reaction?
As with many of the people taking it, my initial reaction was "ouch." I will know more after they score it.
Okay, but it was everything and more that you anticipated.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So that was Saturday.
Friday and Saturday,
2-day deal. All right. Well, congratulations on getting that done. Hopefully the scoring goes how you hope.
And, thank you.
I need to get some camera going. I'm here leaving you out on a limb. I'm just talking and no camera. So anyway, welcome back to Dallas. And now here we are. We just had what some people are calling Nexus Monday yesterday, and I was just reading an article about this. Avalara published an article, I guess, quoting Bloomberg BNA to say, I guess they're the ones that dubbed it Nexus Monday. So, Dan, what's it all about? What's Nexus Monday all about?
Well, Nexus Monday is, I think, the first real significant instance of the effects of Wayfair kicking in. We had a few relatively small states in the scheme of most e-com sellers that implemented Nexus effective July 1st, and then Mississippi kind of came in September. But we had, originally it was supposed to be 11 states going live yesterday, or October 1st, but it ended up being 10, hence the Nexus Monday. 10 states all at once going live, all at once suddenly saying that if you meet their thresholds, which, as we said before, is typically going to be $100,000 or 200 transactions, and that does vary amongst some of these. So if you're right on the threshold, it does pay to investigate in each state. Then you need to register and start collecting the tax. Most states do use a 12-month look back of some kind. So in the last year you've met those thresholds, then this is the time to register and start collecting the tax.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to venture a list of the states who went effective on October 1?
Certainly. The states that ended up going live were Illinois, Indiana, after settling their court case, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Dakota, everybody's favorite e-commerce darling, Washington, and Wisconsin, as well as Alabama and Minnesota.
You got them, Dan. You must have been reading a list.
That is correct, Andy. I don't try to memorize these off the top of my head. They've just been changing too fast. By the time I would have memorized it, I'd already be out of date with as much as things have been shifting. We were expecting New Jersey to be a part of the flock, but they called an audible at the last minute and actually pushed their implementation to November, to the size of relief of some, I'm sure.
So, Dan, what does this mean in practicality? Because I know that we get calls, a lot of calls, every day of people that this is just dawning on them, and I don't blame them. I mean, we work in this world of sales tax, and we tend to expect that everybody knows everything about sales tax, which is obviously not true. And we could say that e-com sellers, by and large, are putting their heads in the sand. But I really think it's more like they are keeping their heads high up as far as possible, just trying to make their business work. And should they be aware of this? Yeah, but are even their CPAs and accountants aware of this? My guess is not really. So as a practical matter, so I'm an e-com seller, let's say, And like I was saying, we get a lot of calls and they're like, hey, we understand now that we need to collect sales tax starting October 1. Like, I got a call like this on Friday, I believe. And in this particular seller, a large seller, been doing business for a long time, out of New Jersey, I believe. Just, hey, can we start collecting sales? Can we be registered by Monday? This was a Friday call. So as a practical matter, how do we help? How do we talk to people who want this done yesterday so that they can start collecting tax? What's the practical answer?
Well, the practical answer is, as far as collecting the tax, that can varies depending on what system you use. If you're selling everything through fulfillment by Amazon, turning on the tax collection is as simple as putting in a tax payer ID number. If you are using a custom system, I've spoken to one seller that has this issue, then you could be looking at some serious development time to get your system ready to properly collect the sales tax, especially in some of these states that have come up with a unique solution to Wayfair that we've talked about before. If as far as people who realize on Friday that they need to get registered on Monday, that's a little more problematic. Some states, you put the registration through, some states, in a minute, if you do it online, we'll give you a registration number. Others will take a couple of days. Some will take up to 30 days. If you're going to go through this process as a practical matter, to the extent you can, I recommend getting registered in the states and turn on the tax collection, even if you don't get the number back right away, as long as you've put in the registration. You should get the registration back, hopefully by most of the first returns would be due November 20th or even maybe in January for the ones that are quarterly filed. So the timing's not perfect. And I know a lot of the states do have language about how you shouldn't be selling into the state without a permit, but in essence, you're trying to comply, and in some cases, it's just the state's processing time that can hold it up a little bit.
So legally, technically speaking, you can't be collecting tax before you have a license to collect it, right?
Right.
But from a practical standpoint, the other day I was speaking to one of our very large e-commerce clients and just talking about the same exact situation, just asking them how, and they'll remain nameless, but what's their practical advice in a scenario like this? Because we have to be careful. We can't advise people to do something that's not legal, technically speaking. And he said, oh no, for sure they should start collecting tax. October 1, they should start collecting tax and then get registered as soon as possible. Because, you know, from his perspective, hundreds of millions of dollars, just you don't want to be in a position where you fail to collect the tax and you have no tax to remit, and then you get audited. For sure, states are going to look, you know, at October 1, these 10 states, they're going to look at October 1. Now, are they going to audit you next month? No. They're going to wait 4 or 5 years, 3 to 5 years down the road, and then you can believe for sure that they're going to look at October 1 and make sure you started collecting sales tax on that date. And if you didn't, then it's automatically going to be assessed to you. So I think that's the, we can get sometimes a little too technical, but as a practical matter, what most of our clients do would be just start collecting the tax and let's get registered. Obviously, they're not going to put that money in their own pocket. They're going to send it in, but it's too much risk to just wait until 6 weeks later when you get the number back from the state and then they lost it. And in the meantime, you've lost months worth of sales and it could potentially come out of your pocket later.
Definitely. Definitely. That's something that a lot of our clients do grapple with is just that reconciling what the state says with the some of the realities of the situation. And it's just that not every state processes them instantly. And sometimes it can take a little bit of time to get it back. But at the same time, if you go with that October 1 effective date, anything that you don't collect is coming right out of your pocket.
Exactly. So, Dan, what do you think of the term Nexus Monday?
I think it's somewhat misleading. I mean, it's a catchy term for an article, and it's a catchy term to get everybody's attention and bring it to light. But essentially, there's a lot of sellers, and we've kind of discussed this previously in a number of times, but it bears repeating because we still get a lot of confusion in this area. Physical presence never went away. If you had physical presence in any of these states, you already had Nexus. You already should have been registered and collecting the tax. A lot of these states, like Washington was one of those that was a member of Nexus Monday. If you've been doing any kind of, if you have been fulfilling by Amazon, you already had Nexus in Washington and may have already been contacted by them. If you had fulfillment by Amazon in Illinois, you already had Nexus there. Kentucky, you already had Nexus. So a lot of people already had Nexus in these states. And if just because those states are going effective with the economic Nexus in light of Wayfair, doesn't mean they didn't already have issues and that they didn't already need to be doing a very careful analysis of past exposure and coming up with a plan for dealing with that.
It's more like an attack, right? A day of attack by the states. They've been massing their forces, and it's more like a day of reckoning. So how about the thing you suggested before we got on the air here of Nexus D-Day?
I think that fits nicely. I mean, it's the states are all kind of attacking the beach at once here, trying to get dug in and take a beachhead, because we're starting to see some of the serious states get in here. And I
just thought of another one.
Oh,
how about end day? Like the end days, you know, end day prophecy.
The end of days. The end. I don't think it's that dire, but it is, you know, it's something that we certainly want to make sure that all of our, you know, as people contact us, it's scary. There's a lot you got to get right really fast, and it's a little bit of work, but at the same time, it is manageable, and it's better. You know, as we worked through it with our clients, one of the things we have heard is, I'm glad I got it done afterwards, because it's a lot less that they have to worry about coming back to get them later. It is for anybody that's had fulfillment by Amazon and found out you were in the state for X number of years, it is never fun finding out that you've had back exposure and that you have a liability out there. And that's why we've been trying to recommend to all of our clients, to anybody that's talked to us, get in front of this, get ahead of the Nexus situation, and tackle it as much as you can, so that you don't end up with that liability to the extent possible.
I got another one, Dan. I appreciate you kind of being, taking this serious, and it's true. I mean, but here you go. How about Nexus Mageddon?
Nexus Mageddon. I like it. Nexus again, the end of not filing.
I mean, it's sort of gallows humor, I guess, but we've been kind of watching this for a long time, dreading what the Supreme Court would do to small business. And it's almost surreal to watch it happen. This is like a Category 5 typhoon. The giant wave that comes after a
tsunami.
It's a Nexus tsunami. It's just a bad situation. And I think it's really important for us to get the news out there, especially to e-commerce sellers. But also, we need to get this message out to all of our CPA followers and accountants so that they can make sure their clients are on top of this. It's October 2nd as we go to, as we record this, and it's already a day late and maybe $1 million short.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, Dan, anything else you would like to add to this?
Just one, in addition to our e-commerce followers and our CPA, the CPAs that we work with, anybody that's selling across state lines at this point, doesn't have to be online. It doesn't have to be, even software, is getting hit by this, durable goods, anything that ships across state lines. If you're selling into one of these 10 states and you exceed the thresholds, whether you do it by a catalog, via the internet, be a good old just cold calling and contacting them, you're going to have to deal with this.
Yep. Unfortunately. And even if everything you sell is for resale, like you're a manufacturer or distributor, you might, assuming that's really true, that 100% of your sales are for resale, you now have a much bigger responsibility for resale certificates than you had before, simply because of these new Nexus rules. So it really does affect so many more business than just e-commerce, but e-commerce has the most probably proximate problems right now. They're the ones that are most targeted by this, I think. So Dan, thank you very much. That concludes today's episode of the Nexus Monday, Nexus Mageddon, End Day, all those Nexus NAMIs. I wish you the best. And if you have specific questions, we'll put the links to these articles, the Avalara article and the BNA article, in the show notes. And you can refer to those there. And if you need consultation on this, or you're in a dire situation, then we can certainly help you. So thank you very much. And this concludes our episode today.